Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to LSU Daily with Matt Moscona, your home for all the latest Tiger news. Part of the Guarantee Podcast Network.
Okay, let's get it. It is LSU Daily. I'm your host, Matt Moscona. Glad to have you aboard with us here. A Tiger baseball team took 2 out of 3 from Texas A&M this past weekend. Coming up in just a moment, LSU freshman Gavin Guidry visits with us. Really enjoyed this conversation. Hopefully you will as well. Excited about Tuesday. LSU hits the practice field again. I was thinking, like, are there gifts? There's got to be of a car, like, revving its engine at the starting line, peeling out, and then going about 5 feet, and then like blowing a tire, just stopping, or the engine shuts down. That's kind of what it felt like at the start of spring football. I mean, LSU finished the season with a lot of momentum, right? I mean, with the bowl win. I mean, we know what happened at College Station and then in the SEC championship game. But you go, you win the bowl game, you head into this offseason. We see all of the tremendous expectation about LSU. We know what's happened in the transfer portal, where LSU really was able to have this extreme sort of makeover in its secondary, adding all these great cornerbacks, defensive linemen. You had some good edge rushers. Ovi Ogofu from Texas jumps aboard as well. And there's all this expectation as LSU's a preseason top 10 team, and we're going to see the second spring under Brian Kelly. And now the first spring was really just learning good habits and all of that stuff, and teaching these guys how to practice and how to work and how to have that ethic. And then this is really more about, man, we're steamrolling toward year two, building a championship program, Brian Kelly's second spring, but the first where they're really getting down to the nitty-gritty, and they start practice, and then they stop for 10 days. I mean, they had 2 practices and then nothing. They practice like Tuesday, Thursday, and then nothing. We'll see you in a week Tuesday. So it's been more than a week since LSU's been on the practice field after we revved up in spring and did all the spring primers and everything. So it feels like now we kind of have to do that again. Just as a reminder, the topics that were front and center when LSU opened spring, interested in quarterback reps, for me, that's, you know, at or near the top of the list for some obvious reasons. I mean, quarterback is always going to be most interesting, but, you know, Walker Howard transferring out means you've got Jaden Daniels, you've got Garrett Nussmeier. You know, Nuss took every third set in the bowl game. So, or every third series, excuse me, in the bowl game. So how many first team reps do we see Garrett Nussmeier get? Is it just a nominal amount to keep him engaged with the first team offense, or are they splitting reps 50-50? That's worth watching here in the spring. Also, when spring practice began, remember, running backs were a big topic of conversation. John Emery is focusing on academics, purely academics, this spring, which is a great thing. Like, focus on your grades, get your degree, or put yourself within, you know, a few hours of getting your degree, so then the fall can be like, remember like Joe Burrow's fall in 2019? He had like a couple of online courses, and that was it. He was a full-time football player. That happened with Zach Mettenberger back in 2013 as well. Used to see Mett every day, like with his Starbucks and his flip-flops, walking into football ops because he had one online course that semester. He was a full-time quarterback. I mean, that's what he was doing. Would love to see if that's the case for John Emery. So get your grades in order here in the spring and be ready to roll for fall so you're eligible, and that's what you're doing. But Josh Williams, Armani Goodwin, Noah Kane. These guys were overcoming some injuries and getting ready to roll for this coming fall. So watching that running back room, who is going to return at this point or at any point during spring, that bears watching. As far as position battles, like we know who the starters are going to be on the defensive line. It's going to be Mason Smith and Mekhi Wingo. But you got a lot of guys that you brought in, so I'm interested in that rotation. I could say the same on the offensive line. Huge opportunity for Marlon Martinez with Charles Turner out this spring. Could Marlon Martinez potentially win the starting center job? I don't know if he can, but it's worth watching. And then for me, the cornerback position is, I think, going to be the most competitive. We could talk about receivers, but I think you're going to have a lot of depth at receiver and a lot of guys are going to contribute. But for me, looking at those cornerbacks, knowing Mekhi Gardner, Jarek Bernard, Converse are off to the NFL, Jay Ward's off to the NFL, only played corner safety, but the fact that you brought in four guys, all with starter experience and a lot of talent. Now, no Deuce Chestnut, the Syracuse transfer, no Chestnut this spring as he's coming back from an injury. But J.K. Johnson from Ohio State, Zy Alexander from Southeastern, Denver Harris from Texas A&M. If you told me that any of those guys would be a starter game one in Orlando against Florida State, I would believe you. I mean, you could make a case for Denver Harris because he's the five-star, he's the elite talent, all that stuff. I know this staff, because I've had enough conversations about it, they love Zy Alexander. That's the Southeastern transfer. He is big and he is long. The only 6'3", physical, got that swag. The only question is, what happens play in and play out when you're lined up against SEC receivers? We'll find out soon enough. So if you told me he aces that test and he's a starter against against Florida State, I'd believe it. J.K. Johnson, Deuce Chestnut, a couple of dudes. One was all conference in the ACC. Others played a ton in the Big Ten. I'd believe it in any rotation, in any alignment. You could tell me any of those guys, let's not forget LaTerrence Welch, any of those guys are going to be starters, and I believe you. So spring, I think, is a big opportunity, not to win the job, but to see who's going to start fall camp with the ones, to see if they can maintain that job moving through fall camp and toward the opener. So LSU will be back on the practice field on Tuesday morning, and then Brian Kelly will meet with the media around 10 a.m. So we'll get to hear from Brian Kelly after they resume practice to see how it's going as the Tigers will practice Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday as they resume spring practice. So really looking forward to that.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
LSU baseball Tigers ranked number one in the country, coming off a series win in College Station this weekend. And excited to have Gavin Guidry in studio with us, a freshman now, a newly minted member of the G team as well, with Gordon McKernan and injury attorneys. Man, it's great to have you. How are you?
I'm great.
Yeah, I'm going to get
great.
You.
Great. We got an off day. Got an off day today, so
I'm going to
catch up on sleep and
I believe it, man.
Yeah.
What's this transition been like, right? Going from high school now to LSU and in season. How is it similar? How's it different?
I mean, I would say the biggest similarities is just like the expectation. I mean, I came from a high school that we held ourselves to a super high standard. And just the people around the program held each other to a super high standard also. So it's kind of stepping in, and Coach Johnson, all the coaches, all the players, the new guys, the returners, everybody just holds themselves a super high standard and kind of the people around them. So I'd say that's the biggest similarity. I think that it's just something that's been normal to me for the past few years. And then I'd say the biggest difference is probably just, I mean, the talent level and the competitiveness and just like nonstop, even midweek games, you're playing against a team who maybe kind of a no-name team or a smaller team, and you get out there and you'll realize really quick that it's still Division I baseball and they can play. So there's not really an off button. You know, it's a lot of baseball. It's a lot of really good baseball. And in order to perform, you got to keep the switch on all the time.
Yeah, man. I remember we were talking about this in the hall before you came in. I know you did a lot of media. Obviously, you were a very high-profile high school player. I mean, everybody in the state knew who you were, and you know, best player in the state, and you were a draft eligible prospect who many thought might sign. And we talked probably about a year ago. You know, as you were kind of going through your process, when you think back on it now, and you certainly would have had an opportunity to sign if you wanted to sign a pro deal. Now that you can sit removed from it, you're in it at LSU now. Thinking back, how would you have done anything differently in your pre-draft process and how all that played out?
Not at all.
Yeah. No.
I think that every decision I made was spot on. Honestly, I mean, obviously having money in the pocket would have been kind of nice, you know, 19 years old and kind of having a lot of money just for yourself obviously would be good, but just in this past year, and I haven't even really gotten much playing experience, but just in this past year, the amount of experience that I've gotten and the amount of knowledge I've been able to just absorb around the guys, Dylan Cruz, you know, Jordan Thompson's one of my main guys. He's gone through a lot since he's been here.
Yeah.
And so he's a guy who I'm always around. You know, he's another middle infielder I'm taking ground balls with every day, hitting with every day. So, I mean, just the amount of stuff that I've been able to absorb from not even just the coaches, but the players as well is – I wouldn't have been able to get at the professional level.
Yeah. That is interesting. It's how there's been a major shift, right? As the level of competition in college baseball has increased and the level of resources in college baseball have increased, you've seen more guys like yourself choose to say, look, I can go play 2 or 3 years in college baseball. I can fly private planes. I can play in full stadiums. I don't have to ride a bus. You know what I mean? And then, and I can improve my stock. So when the draft time comes, I can maybe have a quicker ascension through the minor leagues to get where ultimately I want to go. I can't remember if we talked about this. Like when you were and then we're going to talk. I want to talk about the team. I want to talk about your relationship with Gordon and everything we're doing. But did you have like a number? You know, you said like having the money would be great. A lot of guys have a number during the process. Did you have that set? Like where you told teams, "Hey, if I don't hit this number, don't draft me. I'm not going."
Yeah, I mean, we had a number set, but there was never anyone on the outside that had known what I wanted, it was just me, my family, and my advisor. So
yeah,
there was no one really that knew what I was asking for, just for the purposes of, I mean, you didn't want them to settle. You know, if they saw me at more value than what I was looking for, then you wouldn't want them just settling for your number. So
no, of course it's negotiation, man. You don't want to tip your hand. Did anybody get close to you? I'm just curious, like how close you might have come.
I mean, I set my number pretty high just because I wanted to come to school. And it was kind of one of those things where I set it at a bar above what I really thought I was worth at the time, almost. More like where I saw I valued myself, I set the number even higher just because I knew the amount of information and how much I could get to college and get to school. I trusted Coach Johnson a lot with being able to develop me. So basically, I said, you know, if they're going to overpay and they're going to give me more money than what I'm worth, then let's go for it. But yeah, I wasn't going to settle for anything less, yeah.
LSU freshman Gavin Guidry's in studio with us. He's part of the G team with Gordon McKernan and injury attorneys. They've been a great partner of ours. How did that process go with connecting with Gordon on the NIL front?
Well, me and Trey Morgan have the exact same advisor, so that kind of helps out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, last year, Trey and Kay Doty were in studio here right whenever NIL was kind of kicking off and they did the deal with Gordon. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, being an in-state kid helps a lot, but, I mean, the biggest thing is just that the guy that has all the connections through Trey is the same guy that's working with me. So, shout out to Scott, by the way.
What up, Scott?
Yeah, he's a goat. Yeah, I mean, he's just been able to kind of feed off of everything that Trey's gotten to do and kind of try to push me also.
Yeah.
So it's gotten me opportunities.
Very cool. Have you got a chance to meet Gordon yet or do any, like, the grubbing with G and all this sort of stuff?
No, we haven't gotten to do too much. I signed, like, less than a month ago.
Yeah, no, it was pretty new, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to do much.
We got the...
But I've talked to him a few times. Have you? I met him a few times.
Can you just real quick show the back of your shirt? I don't know if you've... Yeah, I don't even know if you saw it, but they made you a custom G-Team shirt. Yeah, just turn right there, the camera. So it's G Guidry getting it done with the number one. It's not bad, man. Like, that's one that, like, you got your name on it, your number on it. They custom made you a shirt, which is really pretty cool, man.
They're good.
Dude, they're on point, man. We've loved our relationship with Gordon, obviously. You mentioned playing for Jay Johnson, and you feel like he'll be able to develop you to get you to where you want to go. Obviously, you were recruited by everybody, so you could have played for anybody. But what... Like, whenever you start to think about the things that have differentiated Jay, what are those things? Like, if you were to say specifically, like, how do you know he's the guy that's going to help you get where you want to go? Because a lot of guys, you know, say that and obviously have that confidence in him.
Yeah. I mean, he is very, very good with people, just with relationships and especially with his players. I've always felt, even before I got here, that he always had my back and he always was a guy who had a lot of trust in me. And really just supported my career also, like, not even just at LSU, but just really supported what I wanted in baseball. So that's the main thing that I think that everything he's done since I've gotten here, obviously it's to help LSU win. That's his job. He's getting paid to win games. But a lot of the decisions that he's made for me was for me to produce and to perform whenever my number's called. So, I mean, I don't think there's many college coaches that would be in the same category as that. I think there's a lot more coaches out there, a lot more selfish and try to take advantage of what they have in players. But I think that he's just tried to put me in the best situations possible since I've gotten here.
So, I mean, look, you're a two-way guy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're an infielder. You're also a pitcher. So there was that question when you got to campus was, what were you going to play? Like, were you going to play short? We can play second, third. Yeah. We're going to pitch. So we've seen you do a little bit of all of it so far. So can you elaborate a little bit on that, on like what you're talking about, how he's putting you in the best positions? Like,
yeah,
what's best
for
you?
We talked before I came here, and the main thing before I even made the decision on draft and college stuff, he had a conversation with us, obviously, because he was trying to recruit against the draft, right? That's kind of the way it works also. Yeah. So I didn't want to get PO'd. I knew that, you know, I had something on the mound and that I could be really good. And I just didn't want to get PO'd. I think that I have a future as an infielder. So I wanted to be able to develop that, whether it was in pro ball or in college. And so he made it known very, very clearly that, you know, he felt the same way and that getting PO'd was not an option. And so then I got here in the summer, and, you know, he ended up signing Thatcher, Paul, and Christian. Mm-hmm. I mean, three absolute studs. And, you know, then he came to me, made a decision. He was like, listen, we have a amount of pitching that is just – we don't need any more arms. There's going to be guys sitting the bench that are going to be not getting many innings and be pitching to the big leagues one day.
Right.
So we're just going to – throughout the fall, you're not going to pitch. You're just going to, you know, work and develop – the position player thing. And, you know, if you get a job, then you get a job. And if you're a starter from day one, then that's cool. But if not, maybe we can come back to it and just see what happens. And that's what ended up happening. Gavin Dugas, you know, was the guy mainly I was competing with. Gavin Dugas and Ben Napolt and Jack Merrifield. And Gavin Dugas won the job at second. And so we kind of circled back to pitching because that was the way that I could help the team win. Mm. So we got back with Coach West and started working. And then tried to get my arm in shape to pitch in a couple weeks, and that's what happened. And then, you know, just that's kind of my role now on this team is to do what I can do on the mound. And then, you know, maybe one day I come back to being a shortstop, second base, third base, whatever I got to do.
Yeah, I think that one day is going to come too. We're going to be excited to see that. Sit tight. Gavin Guidry's in studio with us. We're going to knock out a quick break, come back. I want to continue. I want to talk about the rest of this year, what the future holds as well for Gavin. Gavin's with us on behalf of Gordon McKernan Injury Attorneys. Obviously been great partners of ours. So we'll continue our conversation with LSU freshman infielder and pitcher Gavin Guidry next on AFR.
AFR.
Brought to you by the Renaissance Hotel in Baton Rouge. Of course, tell you all the time about the Renaissance and the Watermark. The Watermark in downtown and the Renaissance in Southtown, which is on Bluebonnet. You know where it is, right there near the interstate. Two amazing properties. You know, the Renaissance has so much to offer, from their, of course, gorgeous guest rooms, but also their meeting space. If you want to have a board meeting for a dozen people, or if you have an event, you need to host up to 500 people. The Renaissance, they're in the business of saying yes. One of the really cool things about the Renaissance is every single Renaissance, no matter what market you're in the country, they're all unique to that market. So, for example, you walk into the front door, into the lobby area, you'll notice the artwork behind the front desk. That is a two-scale outline of the Mississippi River and all of its tributaries. So every single Renaissance hotel is specific to that market. So there's so much Louisiana culture. And boy, that extends to Tallulah as well, the restaurant inside the Renaissance Hotel. Check it out on Bluebonnet. It's the Renaissance Hotel in Baton Rouge.
After further review with Matt Moscona, presented by Relief Windows, Windows, Doors, Siding, call 288-8138 or visit reliefwindows.com. ESPN Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria.
All right, Gavin Guidry is in studio with us, LSU freshman, two-way player, pitcher, infielder. So you mentioned in the last segment, he's with us, by the way, on behalf of Gordon McKernan, injury attorneys, great partners of ours, and Gavin joined up on the G team this year. You mentioned that the way that you and Jay Johnson had discussed what you were going to do this year. And so Gavin Dugas won the job there at second, and so now you're pitching. How easy, difficult is it to transition back to the mound, but then to do it against college hitters as well?
Yeah, I mean, Coach West is really good, so I mean that played a part in it, right? Trying to be able to get me back on track where I was. But just my body was already in really good shape just because of how much we do with the practice anyways. You know, we're making a lot of throws during ground balls. So it didn't take that much. It just took me getting back, like, the feel for throwing my pitches and spinning the ball. Because, like, my first outing was really good, right? And my slider was pretty good that outing. But whenever I, like, look back and watch videos from it, my slider had a bunch of different shapes to it. It wasn't very consistent in the shape that was coming out. So I'm still really trying to get the feel for being able to repeat, like, the same feeling over and over and being able to get the same shape out of it just for consistency to do what I want. So, I mean, I'm not all the way back.
Mm.
But, I mean, I would also say just stepping in there and trying to do my job, whatever I got to do. So, I mean, that's the biggest part.
Do you think – so we're all – listen, you don't have to say this, but I'll say it. We're all under the assumption that Jordan Thompson, after this year, is going to get drafted, he'll sign, and that you're going to be the shortstop next year. Like, that's my expectation. I think most people that follow this program, that's their expectation. Would that be an ideal scenario for you to move back, like, to play short next year if that plays out the way that I just described?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's the goal. You know, I feel like I'm a shortstop But, I mean, we have a lot of dudes on this team, obviously.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
So it's not going to be like I'm just, oh, Jordan's gone, I'm the shortstop. You know, we have guys coming in, I'm sure. Like, I'm still have to get better. I have to, develop, keep developing, and keep learning, you know, for at this time next year to hopefully I'll be able to start doing what Jordan's doing, hitting 300, making every single ball. Every single ball that's hit to him is an out. He's an absolute vacuum over there. So, I mean, just keep learning from him to where whenever it's my turn and it's my turn to try to win the job, I'll be able to just kind of slot in the position, yeah.
For a guy, and that's very well said, and I know you're not assuming anything. It's just,
yeah.
You know, we talk. You know, like, we have the luxury of just being able to talk about stuff, right? But I understand you have to put in the work and do it. You know, it's – I'm curious also for a guy, and I love asking this question to guys like you who – do you, like, every team, you've probably been the best player in every team you've ever been on. Is that fair to say? I mean, okay, you, like, I'll say,
I mean,
it. You look, you came from Barb. We know Barb's a great program. They churn out awesome players. Like, you're the best player in the state. Like, that's objective. Like, you won the award for the best player in the state of Louisiana, right? So we know you're a great player. Is it challenging at all to come to LSU and look around and go, oh, there's Dylan Cruz.
Yeah.
There's Paul Skeens. there's Jordan Thompson. Like, it's the first time in your life where you probably had to be like, all right, I got to, you know, I'm not the best guy on this team right now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's, I mean, I don't know if challenging is the word, but I mean, it's definitely a lot different atmosphere, yeah. You know, coming in. And it's not like you're just going to show up to the field and just like high school baseball, you can show up to the field and have a bad day and look at the scoreboard, look at the stat sheet, and you went 2-for-4. And you're like, okay, I mean, that was a bad day, but I went 2-for-4.
Right.
Like, it's not like that anymore. But, right. I mean, I feel like the upperclassmen, the guys that have been here, all the teammates, they're so good. I mean, we came in as freshmen, and, you know, we had a really good freshman class, obviously. But every single day, all the upperclassmen reminded us how good we are. And, you know, just do what you can do, you know, play free. You know, y'all are really good, like, y'all are freshmen, but y'all are going to help us win games. And so when you have guys that have been here, and that's the guys that, you know, when you get here as a freshman, you want to win the guys over, right? You want to have the guys trust you. And I feel like they made it really, really known early that they trusted us right off the bat. So that would make it really easy.
Yeah.
To be able to just get in here and play baseball.
You talked a little bit ago about Jordan Thompson.
Yeah.
What about Dylan? Like, seeing a guy, I mean, Dylan and Paul Skeens, there's a really good chance, Gavin, those two guys are going to go 1-2 in the draft.
Yeah.
Chase Dolander from Tennessee is going to be in that mix. And I think there's a kid who's like a high school kid in Pennsylvania or something like that who might be in the mix. But I think those two guys very well could go 1-2.
Yeah.
What's it like watching those guys play and prepare and work every day?
Yeah. I mean, those two dudes are on a completely different level. And, you know, they're our teammates, but even when we're in the dugout and we're watching Dylan hit, and he'll do the most simple thing ever. And you can just see everyone in the dugout just kind of like shake their head and just like, he's just so much different. Like, it's just, he makes the game look so easy, and the game is not as easy as he makes it look. But, I mean, when you're around him every day, it's obvious to see why he makes the game look so easy. You know, he prepares and he trusts himself at like an elite level. So, I mean, when you just watch him prepare for the games and hold himself to routine and sticking to it and trusting it the way that he does, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Same thing with Paul.
Yeah, I was going to ask. We were talking a little in the break about Paul Skeens, but for, you know, and the thing that I think a lot of us, you that's amazing is you see guys dot 100, 101, but they don't sit 98, 99. You know what I mean? He's sitting 98-99.
Yeah.
And so the question is, like, how does that hold up? So, I mean, you get to see him work every day. What's it like watching Paul Skeens go to work every day?
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't accidentally throw 100 miles an hour every outing.
Right.
Let's make that known. It's not just by accident. So, I mean, he wakes up every single day, you know. I don't know when he wakes up or whatever, but I'm sure he wakes up every day, eats a good breakfast, you know. And then I know he gets to the field every morning. He's there for hours and hours, and he may only just be throwing 30 or 40 balls that day, maybe a light day, but he's still there for hours just managing his body, stretching, you know, maybe getting a lift in, doing whatever he's got to do mobility-wise, you know. And it may be a short day throwing, but it's going to be a long day for him just to take care of his body to be able to maintain where he's at right now. So, I mean, the 100-mile-an-hour fastballs aren't going to end anytime soon. So
that's a good thing to hear.
Yeah.
We got a couple more minutes here with Gavin Guidry, who's in studio with us, LSU freshman, of course, with us on behalf of Gordon McKernan Injury Attorneys. We're part of the G team, as is he, and we're thrilled to have the opportunity to spend a few minutes chatting right now. This team's got lofty expectations. You're ranked number one in the country. I know, look, you obviously go around the facility, and Omaha is everywhere, right? I mean, that is the expectation there. How much do you all talk about that? Like, do you talk Omaha College World Series?
I mean, honestly, not really. You know, we had a goal from the beginning. You know, it was kind of more understood than even talked about, too, that, you know, just we had the chance to do something really special, you know, with the amount of talent that we have, and it was just a really good team, like from the top to bottom, everything, defense, offense, pitching, everything was really good. But I mean, I think the thing that may separate this team more than any other team is how well we just stay in the moment on, you know, we play Central Arkansas tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
See, we aren't even worried about who we're playing. I think that's who we play, right?
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's just that's we're not looking ahead to anything else other than Central Arkansas, and we're going to show up tomorrow and prepare like we're playing the championship of in Omaha, and it's, you know, last game, win it or you're done. You know, that's how the game is for us, and it's going to be the same exact thing we're doing tomorrow that we're going to be doing in the middle of June. So, I mean, we don't talk about Omaha a whole lot. We just really just show up and do what we got to do. There's days – I even talked to Jordan about this. There was one day we were sitting in the locker room, and we forgot that it was a Friday, and it was game day, just because we do the same thing every single day.
Wait.
And we're just – and we forgot – we literally were sitting there talking – we just got done hitting in the cages before, and it was just such a normal thing for us that we forgot in 5 hours about to play a game.
So what was, when
this
did,
actually happened?
When did the realization come? What game was it? Do you remember?
No, it was one of the weekends. I don't remember when it was, and we just kind of laughed about it.
Like, oh, wait,
we just kind of laughed about
like
it.
Like, it's
it was
Friday.
Crazy, yeah.
And we're going to play tonight.
Yeah, we're like, but it was just because we do the same thing. You know, we get there, whether we're practicing, we get there and we go through our routine. And we do what we do every single day. So it's just second nature, whether it's going to be in Omaha, Nebraska, or Baton Rouge, or College Station, or wherever we're at. It's just a routine that we do every day. We just go through it.
LSU freshman Gavin Guidry. Before you go, I talked to Jay Johnson about recruiting Paul Skeens, about recruiting Tommy White. He had some really like funny recruiting stories. Do you have any good Jay Johnson recruiting stories?
I wouldn't. No, I don't really have many. Because, I mean, I was committed to LSU. I'm a Louisiana kid. Whenever he got hired, you know, I was committed to LSU. So he'd had to do a lot of things to lose me.
And
he'd had to mess up really bad when I was in high school for me to decommit. So and I think he knew that right away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously he's still recruit. Like, he still wanted and made it a point to have a relationship with me. But, I mean, he didn't really have to sell anything to me.
Hey, man, I know I speak for a lot of LSU fans. We're excited to see you play, you know, for however long your LSU career lasts. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of great moments, man. This is fun to chat. So thanks for making the time to come in here.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate it.
That is Gavin Guidry, LSU, Central Arkansas tomorrow. You do have a game
Central
tomorrow.
Arkansas,
you have a game tomorrow. And then you're going to play a 3-game series this weekend against Arkansas, which that one should be a lot of fun as well with the Hogs coming to town. Thanks for coming in, man. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Okay, that'll do it for us here on a Tuesday edition of LSU Daily. If you're new, please subscribe up on your favorite podcast app. Rate us, leave a review, let a friend know if they love the Tigers. We got you covered every single weekday right here on LSU Daily, part of the Guaranteed Podcast Network.